Thank you. Well, good morning to all. It's been a little different. Last Sunday, I shared up there in Pennsylvania as well. So it feels like I'm getting 2 weeks in a row here. But it's good. Something happened to me last week while I was up there, and I was prepared to share. Saturday night, we had playing games, and they had a ping pong table there. And maybe this is one of those things that you don't really feel like sharing, but for the glory of God. Not quite as young as I used to be, I guess. I went out, and one of her nephews, they were playing ping pong, and so I said I'd play him. And I played one game of ping pong that was really hard playing. I played Emma another one then, but it wasn't like I was running around and carrying on like crazy. But I got done and went inside, and a little bit later I was like, man, my leg kind of hurts. My hip hurts. I don't know what's wrong. Didn't really think about it. I ended up taking, I think, 3 ibuprofen and thought, well, I'll be able to go to sleep because it was starting to hurt pretty bad. And went downstairs and tried to go to sleep, and every time I'd lay down, my leg would just throb all the way down to my foot. And I could not get comfortable. I could not sleep. I think I finally fell asleep around 3:30 Saturday or Sunday morning on the recliner. And about 5:30, I was awake again. So I got about 2 hours sleep. And I was like, what's going on? I didn't know. At that point, I couldn't hardly even walk. I had to go up the steps to go up to the bathroom, and I had to go up, and it was just like, man, I about can't go up steps. I don't know what's going to happen. And I was nervous about preaching, and got the iPad or whatever. And I had a Bible app, and pulled up the Bible app to read it. And the verse of the day was Isaiah 41, verse 10. It said, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And, you know, I don't know if I would have seen that verse before. I doubt I would have seen it before I went to church that morning, last Sunday morning, if I hadn't been up at 5:30. So I'm thankful for that little moment. I kept pain pills in me all day Sunday, and by Monday I was feeling some better. So I guess it was just a pulled muscle, and I guess I'm not quite as young as I used to be, I guess. Game of ping pong pretty much put me out of commission. But anyway, so that verse has kind of stuck with me all week. And so the title of my message today is Fear Not. But I think, first of all, we're going to have the kids come forward if they want to, and we'll do a little something for the kids. Maybe if they want to come over here and sit on this side here, in the front row. All right, some of you can sit over here if you want to. All right, I have a little story here, and I'm not going to try to read it because I'll probably bore you, but I'm going to try to go over it. It's called Scaredy Cat. How many of y'all have ever been scared before? Yeah? What do you do when you're scared?
Freak out?
Do you call for your mama or your daddy?
Sometimes.
Yeah? Do you pray sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is a story about Daniel in the lion's den. We all know about Daniel in the lion's den, right? All right, but this is the story about a little lion that was in the lion's den. Okay? It was especially dark and cold in the pit this evening, and the lions were really hungry. The big lion, his name was Bruno. He was hungry. He said, man, he said, I'm so hungry. He said, my stomach is growling louder than I can. And he was grouchy. He said, man, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. And the other lion said, huh, I'm so hungry I could eat you. So they were fighting and crying and complaining. And then one of the other lions said, hey, I think we might be getting some food. He said, I heard something. What'd you hear? He said, I heard that the king was tricked into making a decree that anybody who prays to anyone else but the king is going to get thrown in the lion's den. And he said, we all know that Daniel prays every day to God, and he's not going to pray to the king. He said, so I think we're going to get a meal pretty soon. So they waited a couple hours, and sure enough, the door of the pit opened, and in was thrown Daniel. And the lions started growling as they came towards Daniel. And Daniel just stood there. He wasn't scared. He just stood there. And the lions growled and they came closer. And they came closer and all of a sudden, they couldn't growl. What happened? Their mouths were shut. They couldn't do anything. And this scared the lions. They whimpered around and crawled back over in a corner and sat there. And there stood Daniel. And then Daniel heard something else. He heard another one crying. This sounded like a little one. So he went over around the corner, and here was a little baby lion. And he said, what's the matter? And the lion said, I'm scared. Now, we all know lions can't talk, right? This is just a story, right? Okay. The lion said, I'm scared. And he said, well, what's your name, lion? And he said, they call me Scaredy Cat. He said, because I'm scared of everything. And he said, Daniel said, surely you're not scared of everything. And he said, yes, I am. I'm scared of the dark, and I'm scared of mice, and I'm scared of spiders, and I'm scared of rocks, and I'm scared of dirt, and I'm scared of the clouds falling on top of me, and I'm just scared of everything. And Daniel said, well, he said, that's quite a lot there, Mr. Scaredy Cat. He said, but That's not quite everything. And he said, well, how do you get so brave? Why are you so brave, Daniel? And he said, because I know that God loves me and God cares about me. And he said, well, were you ever scared when you were little? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I was scared. I was scared of the dark and lots of things. He said, but I learned to pray to God. When I get scared, I pray to God. And he said, the more I learn to pray to God and the more I learn to talk with God, the more I learn that God loves me and God wants to take care of me and God wants to protect me. He said, so even coming in here in front of the lions, I knew that whatever happened to me was what God wanted for me. And God was going to do whatever he would for me. And so they talked most of the night. Daniel was telling the lion how not to be scared and how God loved him. And in the morning, the pit opened, the door opened, and it was King Darius. And he said, Daniel, are you there? And Daniel said, yes, King Darius, I'm still here. He said, God has closed the mouths of the lions. And so they quick got Daniel out. And as Daniel went out, he said, remember, God loves you. And remember to pray to God. So that's my challenge to each one of you, is remember that God loves you, each one of you, very, very much. And God cares about the little tiny little hair on your head, even if you don't have a whole lot like me. God cares about every hair that you have. Okay? And God knows how many hair you have on your head. Did you know that?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's a lot to keep track of. I bet your mom and dad don't know that, do they? No? All right, you can go back. Just remember that God loves you, and if you're scared, you can always pray to God. Thank you. All right. As I studied this week, I was reading through Acts, and I came upon this, the story of where Saul was struck down by the bright light. And it, I guess because of the verse that was going through my head of do not fear, Acts 9, verses 10 through 19 is the story of Ananias. And you don't really hear anything more about Ananias after this, although Saul mentions him one time later on. But I'm going to read that. It says, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now I can imagine Ananias, for one, I can imagine that a little bit of joy went through his heart when he heard that Saul was blind, was blinded, and maybe he couldn't be able to persecute the church. Maybe he thought, well, this is what Saul gets. This is what he gets. Because he knew of him. They knew that Saul was coming there to persecute, to put people in prison. But I can just imagine that Ananias was scared. He didn't want to go see Saul. Because what if he goes there and prays for him and gets his sight back and he doesn't have that confirmation, he doesn't have that change in his life. What if he doesn't decide to be saved and be baptized and become, you know, he didn't know what was going to happen with Saul. I can just picture Ananias scared. He's like, Lord, no, I don't want to go. But yet, he was obedient to God. God told him, go. And you don't hear anything else. There's no more response from Ananias. It just says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. So I was challenged by that, and so I started looking up a bunch of other things on fear and how we're to handle fear. And Proverbs 3:25 says, "Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked." So we know that God is going to take care of us. He's gonna be there for us. Proverbs 29:25 again says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." You know, that's one of my big struggles, I guess, is fear of man. You know, what are people gonna say of me? What are people gonna think? And that holds a lot of us back. We're worried about what people are gonna say about us or what. You know, maybe we're going to say the wrong thing, or if you're like me, you want to say something, but you can't think of what you want to say, and so maybe you don't look real smart, or you think you're. But you know, God is there for us, and Luke 12, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 talks about that. It says, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." So, we're supposed to have more of a holy fear of Christ than what we are of man. And you know, we don't want to, you know, maybe make someone mad or maybe offend someone. But if we feel that God is prompting us to do something, then we should do it. Overcoming it. How do we overcome our fear? One of the ways is by prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, as I read those verses, you know, we all know what prayer means and petition. I looked at the word petition, and it means, you know, to come to somebody that has authority and to ask in a humble way. You know, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, but He is also our authority. And, you know, to bring a petition to Him is to come asking, you know, someone with greater authority. And then Psalms 118, verses 5 through 9, say, "In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and He answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." You know, I think of those verses, especially the last, fighting a sneeze. The last two, verses 8 and 9. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man, and then to trust in princes." You know, we have a lot of people that rely on, you know, the government, and we all are part of it too. You know, we get worried because of, you know, who's in power, who's the president, or what the economy is doing. But, you know, if we take our refuge in the Lord, we're much better off. Verse 14 then down there, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2 and 3 says, "And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." We have, then verse 4 says, "We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing, and will continue to do the things we command." So there we see that the Lord is faithful. And like it says in Isaiah 41:10, that He will strengthen you. And then I like how it says He will protect you from the evil one. If you got the Lord with you, Satan has no power over you. And then 1 Peter 3:12-13 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good?" So here we see that, you know, the Lord is not only attentive to our prayers, but He is against those who do evil. The Lord is gonna protect us. He's there for us. If we cry out to Him, I know we talked a little bit about it in Sunday school, and I think Jonathan mentioned how Peter cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me," and the Lord did. So God wants to save us. Romans 8:35-39 talks about, Lord, nothing can separate us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. For we are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, here it says we have nothing to fear. God, nothing is going to come between us and God as long as we are relying on God. And then Psalm 91, and I really like this. I read this over and over. Psalm 91, and I'll read the whole thing. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." So if we dwell in Christ, if we dwell in God, we will rest in His shadow. Verse 2 says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And I know we don't have a whole lot of fortresses around here anymore, but we've all seen pictures of a fortress that is, you know, high walled, and it's got a moat around us, around it, and nothing can come in. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Verse 3, "Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." And the picture I got with that, He will cover you with His feathers, and I don't know when it was, but I remember, I guess when I was a little kid, there was a story that someone had at children's class, and it was of a chicken, a farm, chicken house, or whatever, that burned. And the story was that when they, after the fire was out and they went in, there was a mother hen that was laying there with her wings spread and was dead, was burnt. And when they picked the mother hen up, all her little peeps were still underneath of her and were alive. She had put her arms out over her little peeps and had protected them. And that's the picture I got of God, has His arms over us, protecting us, keeping us from harm, keeping us from danger. Verse 5 is, "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked." Verse 9, If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. Some key words there in verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, we have to make Christ, we have to make God our dwelling place. We have to dwell in Him. It doesn't say that, doesn't matter what you do, then no harm will befall you. But it says, if you make. So it's important that we make that choice. We make that decision to make Him our dwelling place. It says, "Then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent." He's going to send His angels down. And, you know, I wonder how many times we have angels flying around us that we don't see. You know, so many things that we do, you know, we get up in our vehicles and we go on the highway at 70, 80, 90 miles an hour, and we don't think about, you know, how dangerous, how many things are going right to keep us safe. We don't think about if, you know, if that tire blew out or whatever it may be, you know, someone else fell asleep or and swerved across a slick spot in the road or a puddle in the road. I know we all came to church this morning and the roads were wet. He's commanded His angels to guard us in all our ways. And why does he do this? It says, I will protect him. Verse 14 says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, Christ is there for us, and I think of it as a, you know, as a coming from a father's perspective. We want to protect our children. We want to keep our children safe. Sometimes we allow them to get skinned knees. You put them on a bike and you want to teach them how to ride a bike. And you know that there's going to be bumps and there's going to be bruises. They're going to fall down. And I kind of think of that as Christ. Christ knows that it doesn't say he's going to protect us from everything. Christ, you know, he's going to allow bumps and bruises along the way. But you learn from falling down on a bicycle when you're riding a bicycle. You learn, you know, what you don't do. And I think of that with us in life. You know, sometimes we have a bump or a bruise, or we have a low point. But maybe that's when we say, Daddy, hold on to my seat so I can ride. Daddy, just hold on to my seat. I want to ride bike. And I think of Christ, you know, coming behind us and holding on to us as we're going through life and being there with us and helping us out. Maybe allowing us to go through things that don't feel so fun because it makes us into a better person. This is all I have. You know, I just want to challenge everyone to look to Christ for the answers, for when you're afraid, when you feel like you can't make it. He's there for us. He has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Christ isn't going anywhere. He's going to be with us as long as we ask him to. He's going to be there for us. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, I just thank you for your scripture that we have. Dear God, for the words that you've given us. Dear God, how so many times we read over different things and we don't see what you have for us. And the next time when we really need it, it jumps out at us. It's alive, God. Dear God, I thank you so much for your word that you've given us, that we can learn about you. Dear God, I thank you that you are there for us and that you tell us not to fear, that you send your angels around us. You want to protect us. Dear God, I thank you so much for all that you do for us, for the many times we don't see you protecting us. Dear God, I thank you for your protection on our lives. Dear God, I just ask that you would be with us now. Be with us as we go from here, the remainder of the week. Dear God, help us to trust in you and to know that you are with us and you are beside us and you want to be there for us if we will only ask. Dear God, I just ask that you would just watch over us and keep us. In your name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.